Thank you, Miss Melissa. Thank God for my Christian home. I was raised up around some godly people, but we didn't go to church once in a great while. Not sure why. When I reached high school in Warner Robins, Georgia, I worked in a nightclub. It was called the Civilian Club. It was for civilian employees who worked on the base. It began in the summer between the 10th and 11th grade. Around beer, everything else, dances. Certain places I couldn't go because I was still a minor. Used to go by a church on Wednesday night and pick up this girl. And we'd go off together, and I'd bring her back about the time the services was over. I know. How in the world God save somebody like me? Ain't that something? Hallelujah. I mean, I'm amazed, and I was there. But God did. Amen. But if you were raised in a Christian home, you ought to thank God. Now, I tell you, it's tough. Because the devil is after our children. If it's a Christian home, then he works double time on the children. If you're a preacher and you've got a child, they're working triple time. Amen. And so it makes a big difference to have a Christian home. It makes a big difference to have a Christian mama. My mama got saved when I was in the ninth grade. She lived in Warner Robins outside our back door. Across the field, you could see the Second Baptist Church of Warner Robins, Georgia. That's the only Second Baptist, I believe, I've ever known of. And anyway, she was going to be baptized. I went to school with the preacher's son. And they were all getting ready to go to the baptism. I said, "Pa, I don't want to go to no baptism. That don't mean nothing to me." He said, "Oh, yeah, you go." And I did. Ain't that pitiful? Why'd God ever save me? I guess I was so bad, somebody had to do something, didn't they? Amen. But I tell you what, God is so good. God bless you, mothers. It's so good to be in the house of God with you. It's so good to see. We got some visitors with us. I'm not going to name them, but you be sure and welcome them, amen, with us. Some people don't like their name called out, do they? Dwayne. Bobby, you see, I know it's real. Let me tell you why. I know how much that woman loves them two boys. I've seen it. I've been in their home. Amen. And that's precious. And it's so good to see you two fellas in the house of God. I call you boys simply because I'm ancient. It ain't, I'm trying to insult you. Amen. What a blessing. Isn't that right, Miss Mary? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Good to see you others here today. Amen. Good to see Donnie Hood and his partner, Charlene. They've got a special day this Sunday. Amen. Good to see y'all today. Looking forward to it. I sent my what is that called? VP? I don't get to do that much. Because I don't get invited too much, but hey. Hallelujah. Miss Courtney, yours is still a good ways off, isn't it? There's still time. There's still time. I love y'all youngins. I do appreciate you so much in the Lord. Not going to preach long today. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Brother Larry said that's always bad news when he says that, but I'm going to try my best to hold myself to it today. Amen. Now, the title of the message is this, for Mother's Day, Real Mothers Never Give Up. Real mothers never give up. My mama had me and my two sisters by my biological father. He became an alcoholic. He became an abusive alcoholic. And so they had to divorce when I was 5 years old. So I was raised from women till I was 10 years old. I used to tell the prisoners it's a miracle that I didn't turn out gay because I was raised with the women. Amen. Along came my stepdaddy. Amen. But I can remember those years from me being 5 till I was 10 years old. How my mama never gave up. We were forced to move in with my grandmother, and a lot of bad things happened there, but she had to get a job. She worked. She did everything that she did to keep her children going. She was a mama that never gave up. When she became a Christian, she never gave up on her children being saved. Now see, the difference between me and my sisters and my younger brothers and sisters was mama had gotten saved and she always had them in church from the time they were little. But you see, she never gave up on me working at the nightclub. Amen? She still prayed for me. She didn't give up. Say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Did you hear her praying? No, I didn't hear her praying, but I know this, God saved me. Somebody was praying, amen? Hallelujah, thank God. And so I thank God for faithful mamas who do not give up. See, the problem today, I'm trying to figure what the word to use in this confused society we live in. You know, I can remember when my mother was living, I would go to Walmart and I'd buy the biggest box of candy I could find. They had a whole row of Mother's Day candy. Do you know what they had this year? A few flowers. And I said to myself, what is wrong here? I wanted to get you mother some Mother's Day candy, but there ain't no such thing. So I had to get you just regular candy. Amen. Then it dawned on me. We don't have Mother's Day candy anymore because we're not sure what a mother is anymore. You see, we live in an age whenever marriage is cheap to people. Donnie, Courtney. They're quick to give up on marriage. I even married a couple one time. Scheduled the wedding in the church. The night before the wedding, when we had rehearsal, the groom come up to me and said, I just want you to know that we went and got married last night at the Justice of the Peace. And so that way, if the marriage doesn't work out, you won't feel bad about it. Now, I'm not sure what kind of logic that is. But I simply told him, I said, son, you've already cashed in your marriage already. You're starting off on the wrong foot, son, and I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story because it is bad. It is bad. We give up on marriage and we give up on children. I saw on the news not long ago, I can't watch it too long, but I try to make sure the world hasn't ended and I missed out on it. But I saw a film on the border. This man ran to this bridge and he set a baby down. Couldn't even stand. Set that baby down in the middle of that bridge and ran back the other way. Fortunately, they saw it on the camera and a border patrol agent came and got that baby. How sad, how sad. We have mothers who will give up on a baby before it ever breaks the womb open. Over 60 billion. Million, I'm sorry, have been slain since Roe v. Wade. Life has become cheap, and we give up on the very foundations of this nation that made it a great nation to start with. And number one is the agency of motherhood, the institution of motherhood. Read sometime about the Mayflower, how many of the women survived. Some died before they ever got on the off of the boat. But when this nation was established, we understood and we knew the value of what a mother was. Amen. Now, I will say this. Some of these young ladies I've seen today, they're not ready for motherhood. I'm not going any further with that. See, I have a history of trouble, and I've had enough of trouble, amen. So I want to read this morning about a mother who never gave up. Now, here's what's interesting about this story. This woman, this mother, was outside of the covenant promises of God. She was a person without help and without hope and had every reason to give up in life. But she refused to do it. Amen. All we're concerned about today is comfort, entertainment, and pleasure. And if the going gets rough, we'll just fold and go on our way. Amen. I'm going to teach on this on Wednesday night. I don't want to elaborate or get too hung up on it. But you see, there's coming a day when people are going to appear before the judgment throne of God. Now, a person that dies without Christ, son, they go to hell. They go to a place called Hades. But the Bible teaches that when that throne is set up, they will be brought out. Why weren't they judged before they were thrown? Why didn't they come out? Because the results of their deeds have not finished when they left this world. Amen? Amen. You think about Muhammad, who established the Islamic religion, a so-called religion of peace that historically has never been anything but a religion of violence and death. Now, if I know my Bible, you say, you can't judge. I'm not judging. I'm just making a good guess. Muhammad's in Hades at this point in time. But one of these days, he's coming out and he's going to be judged, not only for what he did in his lifetime, but my friend, what took place as a result of his teaching and the religion that he established, and all those that died as a result of it, all those that had their heads cut off, all those, my friend, that were drowned, that were burned and abused in every sort of way. He'll answer for that one day. Adolf Hitler has got some answering to do. Surprise, surprise, there's still Nazis around. You believe that? Son, his tally's growing every day, amen. Look at this woman. We're going to read about her. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Then Jesus went. Now, by the way, let me begin by saying this. Every time Jesus went to Judea or Jerusalem, they tried to kill him. First time they tried to kill him was in his own hometown. First sermon he ever preached in his hometown church, when he got through with it, they took him out and tried to throw him off a cliff. Something wrong there, isn't there? So, here we find one of those times that he's leaving Judea and Jerusalem, and look where he's going. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. You can find that on the map. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out to the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil, a demon. So there's her plea. Now look. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. She stopped pestering you, now she's pestering us. Get rid of her. But he answered and said, saying to this woman, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ah, you see, Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. The promise and the producing of salvation came through the Jew. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And listen to what he said, to the Jew first, then to the Greek, the Gentile, you and me. Jesus told this lady, she was a Gentile, she was from Tyre and Sidon. She was outside the covenant promises of God when it comes to salvation and all the benefits thereof. He said, I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, don't you think she's been insulted enough that she would have went away? But look, verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him. Worshiped him after he had rejected her. You know what I call that? Not giving up. Saying, Lord, help me. She's not giving up. Help me. She don't know how to ask. She don't know what to ask, but she knows one thing. She's helpless, like I just told you. But he answered her this time and said, it is not meet, it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Miss Mary, y'all don't do that with Pepper, do you? No, I didn't think so. I don't do it with Sally either. That's why she's so fat. The word here, dogs, let me tell you what it means. It literally means puppies, would be the literal translation in our language. To give it to the puppies. Now look how she responds. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. She may have been helpless, hopeless, outside of the graces of God, of the covenants of God. But son, she knew one thing. As long as she had a breath, she had hope. Hallelujah. She had personal hope. That very hour, her daughter was made whole. So the first thing we see here is a mama that had a problem with a child. Now, I don't know if that is something that you're familiar with, but I was a firefighter 30 years. I went into many homes. I dispatched at the sheriff's office for 5 years. And I can tell you this, many, many homes are in disarray. Many, many homes have bad problems with their children. Now, I don't have time to get into the causes and reasons for a lot of that because it goes back decades where it started. Amen. And I can take you right back to the place, but we're not going to elaborate on it. But she had a problem with a child. Now, I want to tell you something. That's one of the worst problems you can possibly have. Amen? It's hard to deal with somebody else that has their own volition, has their own will. Why? Because at its very basic level, people want to do what they want to do. I can remember as a teenager, sure, I had a job, but I couldn't drive yet. I had to walk to work to that nightclub I worked in. Got caught one night by the law coming home at 2 o'clock in the morning because I violated curfew. I've been to work. Don't lie to me, boy. Get in this car. Amen? Yes, amen. I can remember sitting on the living room with my dad, and he had a newspaper reading it like he always did. And back then, you could get in the drive-in for a dime on Tuesday night. A whole carload get in there for a dime. And I couldn't find nobody to go that could drive. And I was frustrated. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll be glad when I get 16 and I can get my driver's license. I'll go to the drive-in any time that I want to. My daddy said, yeah, that'd be good, won't it? Directly the newspaper came down and he looked at me and he said, what you gonna drive? See, I never thought about that. Amen. And I would say, I tell you what, you just let me out of this house, and I had a good home. You let me out of this house and just let me go, and I'll show you how to live. And my daddy, he still denies it, denied it till the day that he died, that he let me move out of the home while I was still in high school, but he did. And buddy, that's one of the greatest life lessons I ever learned when I moved out back then. Amen. Because you see, not only did I move out, Mama quit cooking. Mama quit washing. I didn't go to Mama's house to get that stuff done. It was a great eye-opener. Amen. Children want to do what they want to do, and usually it is not what the parents want them to do. Amen. And it can be frustrating. It can be heartbreaking to the point that some people even give up. I was dispatching one time. A lady called. I ought not tell it, John, but I am. She said, my grandson leaned his, she called the sheriff's office, my grandson leaned his bicycle up against that air conditioner out there. And they told me over at the whatever center he had to go to, that if he leaned that bicycle up there and didn't pay attention to what I said, that he'd have to go back over there. I said, ma'am, you're calling the sheriff's office because your grandson leaned the bicycle up against your air conditioner. I said, can't you deal with that child without bringing the law in and life management and everything like that? That's the sad, sad state. You see, that wasn't a problem with me. If my daddy didn't want me to lean my bicycle up against the air conditioner, number one, we didn't have one. I had a bicycle, but there weren't no air conditioner leaning up against. But if there had been, and my daddy didn't want me to, and I did, he didn't have to call the law. He didn't have to call life management. No. I'll tell you all he had to do, say it the second time. I might act like I missed it the first time, but son, I weren't going to act like I missed it the second time. Amen? But we live in a disposable society where children are turned over to somebody else's authority. The basic purpose of school today is to get rid of the kid, send him to a babysitter so that me and my husband can work a job. That's it. Y'all know why I'm so poor? You know why I wear the clothes I wear? You know why I'm wearing a suit? Now, that's not fully true. I'm just trying to elaborate. My wife never worked. She worked 2 years at a school cafeteria. When I married her, she was working at the shirt mill. A lot of you are familiar with. You see, we were a one-income family, so it was hard. And it was difficult, you know, at times. But when that little boy came along, that's where I wanted her, to raise that young'un. Not throw him into a school, throw him into a daycare. And I understand, my friend, we live in a two-employee family world today. But you see, back when I was coming up, I built a house, my first house, a modest house that I could afford, with the intention that in time, as I made more money, we could build on to it. But these youngins today, when they get married, son, they got to have a two-story house. That thing's got to be brick. It's got to have all of the accommodations and all the elaborations on it. Amen. See, I can't identify with that. But we live in a two-income society. And that's sad, isn't it? Amen. Why? Because often the result of it is that the children get neglected. Believe me, I know these things can't be avoided. My mama had to work because I didn't have a daddy. Anybody else to take care of us? Amen. And so she had a child problem. Now, why did she come to Jesus? She was from Tyre and Sidon. Do you know who they worshipped in Tyre and Sidon? Baal. That's where Jezebel came from, Ahab's wife. She was the one that introduced the Baal worship to Israel during the days of old Ahab, amen. If she should have went anywhere, she should have went to old Baal. But let me ask you, why didn't she go to Baal? She knew he didn't have the power. Then why did she go to a Jew? Why did she go to Jesus of Nazareth? If you'll go look at this account of this story in Mark chapter 7, verse 25, you're going to find this out. Here's what Mark said. And she heard of him. Now, if you've read the Gospels, you know that Jesus wasn't on the scene in his ministry very long before his fame spread throughout the land. So she went to Jesus because somebody told her about Jesus. Somebody told her about a man who had raised people from the dead, cast out devils, gave legs to the lame, eyes to the blind. And she said to herself, bless your heart, if that man can do all of that, he can get that devil out of my dog. Now, thank God the problem that her daughter had was an involuntary problem. Amen. Why would a young child have a devil? If you let your children hang around Baal long enough, your child will get a devil. And that's a reality. Amen. It all involved devil worship. If you study your Bible, you find that out. She had a possessed daughter, but she heard of Jesus. Amen. Her problem was a powerful devil. You know, we live in a society that doesn't believe in a devil anymore. They don't hardly believe in a God anymore. And so when you don't believe something, it becomes ineffectual in your life. I don't want to let no secrets out of the bag this morning, but I'm going to tell you this morning, Santa Claus has become ineffectual in my house. I can't rely on him no more. He don't come no more. I can tell you something about that, but I'm not going to do it right now. Amen. Huh? Ineffectual. And that's the way it is. Oh, there ain't no such thing as a devil. Well, I tell you what, I've seen some things convince me, and I know that there are devils. She was possessed of a devil, but not only that, it says that she was grievously possessed. And exercise. What does that mean? She couldn't do what she wanted to do. She could only do what the devil wanted her to do. Now, folks, I've seen it. I've been a Christian 51 years now, and I've seen what I'm talking about here. This woman was hopeless, but she found hope in a man named Jesus. Why? Because she heard about him. You know, nobody who ever hears about Jesus never gets saved. That's just a fact. Amen. Thank God the gospel has covered this globe times over. Amen. She was in a state of pitiful, pitiful desperation. So she was a woman that had a problem with a child. But she was also a woman that had a plan and a commitment to go with it. She was a real mother who refused to give up on her child. The first question that I would ask is the same question I ask our society today. You know what that question is? Where's the daddy? Man, it got quiet. Where's the daddy? We live in a world where children are raised by a community. They're raised by two men, two women. They don't have a mama and a daddy. It is so messed up, amen. But she had a plan. When she heard about Jesus, she said, if anybody can do anything for my daughter, it's him. And I'm going to hunt him down. And when she heard that he was in the area of Tyre and Sidon, son, she went out to find this man. That was her plan, and she was committed to it. And that scene and what happened to her, amen. So she had the information she needed. And when she began to pursue it, she ran into frustration. When she went to Jesus and told him the situation, you know what he did? He didn't even say a word. He didn't even say a word. Well, at the very least, you could call that rude. He said he answered her, not a word. Amen. So guess what? She met a little frustration. A lot of people give up when they get frustrated, but not this lady. She kept going. Amen. Then she faced discrimination. Jesus' disciples were bad about that. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Baal worshiper. She was from Tyre and Sidon. Worse, she was a Gentile. And so they said unto Jesus, tell her to go away. She's bothering us now. Discrimination. Well, some people give up when they face discrimination. Amen? But she had determination. She did not quit. Amen. And so she went back to Jesus. And she fell down and worshiped him. And she said, Lord, help me. Well, you know, that's all you got to pray. You know, we ain't got to pray long prayers and elaborate prayers to get in touch with God. And I mean, when you don't know nothing else to pray, you just pray, God, help me. Heal here. And so Jesus responded. And the next thing she experienced was humiliation. He said, it's not right to give the children's bread that's eating at the table, to take it and give it to the dogs. He said, that's not right. Now remember, bread was not abundance back then like it was here. Amen? And so she is humiliated by this, because literally Jesus is doing what? He's calling her a dog. Do you know what Jews call Gentiles? Dogs. Do you know what Paul called Jews? Dogs. He found out what the dogs were. Beware of the concision. He did, amen. And so she's put in this position of humiliation. And so she walked off with her tail between her legs. No, she didn't do that. She entered into what I call arbitration. She agreed with the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You may as well agree with God. You may not understand God. You may not comprehend everything about God. I sure don't. But I'll tell you this. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking you're going to argue with God. Huh? But look what she did. She agreed with him. You're right, Lord. That is not a right thing to do. But then she began to arbitrate a little bit. She said, however, the dogs do eat the crumbs that fall from the table. So you know what she did? She confessed that she was a dog, and she confessed that she needed crumbs, and she confessed that crumbs would be enough to take care of her need. Man, what a faith this woman had. What a faith she had. And so Jesus elaborates on it. Look what he said. Verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. One of the other accounts, he said, I've not found such faith, no, not in Israel. She had a spectacular faith. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Here's what Mark says. When she got home, guess where she found her daughter? Lying upon the bed. Well, preacher, what's so significant about that? If you read here about what that demon did to her, it was impossible for her to stay on that bed because that demon threw her around all that he wanted to throw her around. He said, woman, he said, you've got a great faith. He said, so whatever you want, take it to the house. Take it to the house. You see, she was a real mother that refused to give up. People give up on marriage. People give up on their children. But sadly, people give up on God. You see, she didn't have much in life, but she had confidence and she had faith that this man called Jesus of Nazareth could take care of her problem. And she was determined, no matter what the response, no matter what took place, she was not going to give up until she presented her need before Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God dealt with me 4 months before he saved me. The whole time I resisted, resisted God, argued with God, dealt with God. Finally, one day, I realized I couldn't fight anymore. So I simply put my faith in Him, realizing that He could meet my need. What's your need today? May not have anything to do with these things we've talked about, but I can tell you this, whatever it is, He's able to take care of it this day. I used to have a 68 white Chevy. On the front, I had a tag I'd gotten saved. It said, Christ is the answer. One day, a wise guy said this. He said, Christ is the answer. He said, what's the question? I said, brother, you name it. Whatever it is, you got a question, He got the answer. Here's a lady that was determined, and she was not going to give up when it came to her child. There's no indication she cared at all about what might happen to her. But I'll tell you this, she wasn't going to be whipped by humiliation, by discrimination, by resistance of any kind. She was going to take care of her daughter with all the power and strength of her soul. Told somebody the other day, had a baby. I said, let me tell you something. When you have a baby, when you have a child, it's for life. It's for life. That child will always be your child. That's your baby sitting there by you, ain't it, Miss Mary? I ought not mention this, but I will. There was a song back when I was a hippie pervert by a group known as Pink Floyd. The title of the song was Mother. And, all right, don't give yourself away. The last line of that song's like this. I won't deal with any of the rest of it. The last line of the song was the mama speaking. And here's what she said. You'll always be baby to me. Man. My, thank God for our mama. Hallelujah. Brother Ricky, you come. Miss Brandywine. Tell you what we're going to sing. We're going to go.